जो भक्ति जोगा शिक्षा समूह का पुरुष पुराना श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य शरीर धारी कृपाम विचर समहम प्रवर्ति
दिस इज अ प्रेयर ऑफरिंग टू लॉर्ड चैतन्य सेंट्रल फिगर डांसिंग ए बॉय अबाउट 18 years old, he introduced his movement, Sankirtan movement, being compassionate with the fallen souls of the sea. He recommended from the upright teachers, not that he manufactured. Nowadays, it has become a fashion to manufacture a certain type or system of religious or yoga principles. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not do that. What he introduced that is recommended in the scripture, that in these days, for spiritual realization, one may simply chant the holy name of Krishna. Krishna means God. If you have got any other name for God, you can chant that one. But it's not that you have to chant Krishna. But Krishna means God. The word meaning of Krishna means all attract. Krishna from his beauty is all. From his strength is all. From his philosophy is all. From his renunciation is all right. From his field is all right. 5,000 years before, Krishna spoke his Bhagavad Gita. He's still going strong. He's so famous. And Krishna claims that Sarva Jonishu Kauntiya. Most of you must have read Bhagavad Gita. And in the 14th chapter, you find that Krishna says, my dear Arjuna, in all species of life, there may be as many varieties of forms. We are all living in a city. We are living in human society. We have got different kinds of forms. Nobody will be exactly like the form of other gentleman. Very different. This is the beauty of creation. If you go to the tree, there are millions and billions of trees, and you won't find one which is exactly like that. So, there are varieties of living entities. Out of the varieties of the living entities, the humankind living entities are very small. From Shastra, from scripture you understand that there are 8,400,000 species of them. 8,400,000 species of plants. Out of that, aquatic, water animals, water living entities are 900,000. The botanists are the physiologists, how many they have seen, or how many they have experimented, or how many they have seen. But from the Shastra, from the basic scripture, we find that there are 900 thousands of pieces of light in the water, and 2 million pieces of light in the bottom of the bottom. Similarly, there are birds, there are bees, there are cold-blooded animals, and at last the human being. The human life is considered to be the developed form of all species of life. That is really also some idea, if some idea. I think you might have taken this idea from the Vedic literature. But the gradual evolution is recommended mentioned in the Vedic literature that from aquatic to plant life, then worm life, then bird life, then animal life. There are 300,000 of animal life. So at last, human form. And the human form of life, there are many species, some of them civilized, some of them not civilized, some of them have no religion, but we can know from the history of human civilization that any civilized nation, it doesn't matter whether he's Christian, whether he's Mohammedan, or he's Hindu, or Buddhist, there is some type of religion. So, in the Vedic literature says that without religion, without accepting religion, dharmena hina vasihi samana, if in some society there is no religion, religion means to abide by the laws of the Supreme, that is it. It doesn't matter whether it is Christian religion or Mohammedan religion or Hindu religion, religion means just like citizen, good citizen. Good citizen means to abide by the law of the state. It doesn't matter what it is. Similarly, anyone, either he may be Christian or may be Mohammedan or may be Hindu, that doesn't matter, anyone who accepts the Supreme Law, God, and abides by the laws of God and laws of nature, is God. Religionists are advanced humans. And Krishna says, either advanced or not advanced, that doesn't matter. It is a kind of grace only, but I am the Father. All of these are Prodapita. Just like Father is a seed-giving agent into the womb of the mother, and then the child really comes out. Without the combination of Father and Mother, there is no possibility of generation. Similarly, Krishna says that in all creatures of life, the living entity, I am the seed-giving Father and the material nature is mine. Nobody can deny, because our this body, just like the child's body, is made by the mother. So, Father gives the opportunity to develop the body. And the mother supplies the ingredients for developing the body. Similarly, God impregnates. God impregnates material nature with the living entity, and they came somehow in different forms. Aquatic, birds, bees, animals, trees, plants, vegetables, so many. And Krishna says that I am the Father of all of them. So I request you the dawn that says Krishna as something Indian God, a Hindu God, no. Krishna is the original father of all religions. He claims, if you don't accept, if the father says, you are my son, and the son says, no, I am not your son, because it is son, because it is son. You may deny, if he doesn't believe his mother. Now, what is the proof that one man is my father? The man, father is the proof. There is no other source of understanding who is my father. If a boy wants to understand who is my father, the only authority is the mother. Mother is there, my dear God, my dear child, here is his father. Yes, accept. If he says, I don't accept, I must have proof that he is my father. How is it possible? It is not possible. Similarly, the baby is regarded as used to be considered as the mother. And baby literature says, Janmadva Sagata, the supreme, absolute truth is that who is the source of all generation. All emanation. And what is the source? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that I am God. If you believe that Vedic literature, if you believe Bhagavad Gita, then you have to accept Krishna as the Supreme Father, because the mother, Vedic Gita is considered to be the mother, she gives evidence that Krishna is God. That's like mother gives evidence between your father, similarly, the Vedic literature is connected to mother. And the Vedic literature says that Krishna is the father. In your Christian literature, Bible, Jesus Christ is accepted as the Son of God. He presented himself as Son of God. And here, Krishna says that I am the Father. So, there is no contradiction. The Son of God also says about God, and the Father also says about the God, himself. The Son of God says that you surrender unto God, and God says you surrender unto me. Then where is there contradiction? There is no contradiction. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is to understand the past. It is nothing new. It is old. But in a new process, convenient for the people of this age. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have forgotten our past. We have forgotten God. In modern civilization, wherever you go, they say, you are secularist. Secular state means, without knowing who is the father of the mankind, that is secular. But, the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, a great logician, during the time of Lord Chaitanya. He was also godless, and generally the so-called learned philosophers, scientists, are so-called educated. They deny the existence of God. They depend more or less on their experimental knowledge of science. But actually, the fact is that there is God. There is God. In every religion, there is God. And actually, as the God in the Vedic literature, it is accepted, the Dhammasastra Gata, and in the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly said by Krishna that I am his father. Not only one place, in many other places, I am especially referring to the Bhagavad Gita, because most of you, are acquainted with the study of Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, in the 10th chapter you find Aham Sarvatra Prabhava. I am the origin of everything. Aham Sarvatra Prabhava Vatta Sarvam Pravattate. Whatever you see, that is from me. It is Aham Sarvatra Prabhava Vatta Sarvam Pravattate. इति मत्या भजन्ति मान बुधा भाव सबन्ता One understands this perfectly. One has to understand. It is not that you blindly follow something. One has to understand. So, Krishna says, one who has understood that I am the origin of everything. Buddha. Buddha means one who is God. And bhava sabandita. Avasamanda means with thought, not that physically or sentimentally to accept something, but with thought, with thoughtful attitude or more. One was understood, this fact, the Buddha Avasamanda, he was this thinking subject. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you are the great logician, you are unfaithful, not a, you are moralist, but you have no faith in God, or impersonal. There are many persons who have faith in something superior or absolute, but they do not believe in the personal nature. But here, from the Bhagavad Gita, we can clearly understand, from Bhagavad we can clearly understand, from Vedanta philosophy we clearly understand that God is person, the person like you and me. Take for example, in the Vedanta Sutra, the first aphorism is Janmasastakataha. The first sutra is Adhava Brahma Vijnasa. Now you have to understand what is Brahma or what is there to look to. The next aphorism is immediately that the absolute truth is there from whom everything emanates. The original source of all emanation. Janamadrasya Jataha. Janma, Janma means birth. Adi means etc. The Janma where there is birth, there is death, and there is existence. And whenever there is birth, you must know there is death. there is not a single instance you have got experience where birth is possible and death is not possible. This material world is going on in that way. Birth, then existence, then development, then byproduct, then dwindling, then running. This changes. Everything, either take you of this body, or a fruit, or a flower, anything material you take, this six changes are there. First of all, birth. Then growth, then existence, then byproduct, then dwindling, and then vanish. So, Vedanta Sutra says, Janmasya Jata, the original source of birth, the source of maintenance, the source of growth, the source of development, and the source of dwindling and after all vanishing or the The contemplation of the anything animal, everything is the supreme Brahman. So, this Dhamma of the Sakrama has been interpreted in various ways, but the most important commentator is Vyasa. He is the original writer of Vedanta Sutra. Not only he is the writer of Vedanta Sutra, he is the writer of all Vedic literature. Vedic literature means four Vedas, Rama, Bhagava, Yajur, and Rig. And from the Vedas, there are Upanishads. There are now 108 Upanishads. And there are Puranas. Puranas means those who do not understand the Vedic aphorism and the Upanishads, statements of the Upanishads. For them, for ordinary man, there are many stories. The stories are concluded with the Vedanta Sutra. Then there is Mahabharata. You have heard this from his name. Mahabharata is history. History of Indian royalty. The Mahabharata is the history of fighting between two great groups of royal families, the Pandavas and the Kurus. And in that Mahabharata we find all kinds of sociology, politics, religion, and military science, everything is complete. And in that Mahabharata is called the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is only a portion of the Mahabharata. This was also written by Vyasa. Then at last, he was not satisfied. Even after writing so many big literatures, he was not satisfied. So one day, he was feeling very morose. And at the same time, his spiritual master, Narada, came to see him. Because Narada is not an original spiritual master, he could understand that my disciple is sitting in Moro. So I must go there and give him some encouragement. Because he is a great personality. He is in human society so many nice things that he is not very happy in his home. So I shall go and give him some encouragement. So, I am reading from the Bhagavata, introduction, how Bhagavata was compiled by Vyasa. I am reading that chapter. This is in the first canto, fifth chapter. So, when the spiritual master Nara came, it is the custom of disciple to receive him and to give him nice speech and offer obeisances and then talk on different subject matter. So in Narada's case, Vyasa offered him good speech and comfortable speech and offers obeisances. Then Narada is speaking. He saw his disciple Vyasa very much more. So he is asking, Parasatya Mahabhava Bhavata Pratitātmana Puritushati Sārira Atma Manasa Eva Bhava. My dear, that day I see that you are not very happy. And I am asking you question, whether a person becomes ever happy who has accepted this body as self or the mind as self. There are two classes of men in the material world. class. I mean the intelligent class. I'm not speaking of the ordinary class of men. Those who are interested in knowledge and higher thought, in philosophy, in religion, ethics, morality, so many things there are, science, in literature. So, Thursday is everything in one person. And he has written so many books, as I described. Now, Narada is asking him, my dear, Parakarya. Parakarya means Vyasadeva was the son of Parakarya. His father's name was Parakarya. Therefore, he is addressing him, Parakarya Mahabhava. You are very fortunate. You have got the opportunity of doing the best service to the humanity by presenting such important literature. Therefore, you are Mahabhava. The human society is not ordinary stuff. And not, it is not possible for any ordinary man. All great men, all great, personality who has appeared on this earth and rendered great service to the humanity, they are still remembered. Just like in your country, President George Washington, even the very valuable service to your country, he still remembers. Recently, President Kennedy, he still remembers. Similarly, those persons who have dedicated their lives for the welfare of the human society, they are not ordinary. Therefore, he is addressed as Mahabhava, the most fortunate person. Because he dedicated his life for the good of the humanity. The greater a man is engaged for the service to the humanity, he is considered the great man. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya, he also renounced his birth. He sees his Peter is just 18 years to 20 years old. And after this movement, Sankirtan movement at Navadvip, during his household and death, he was married at the age of 17 years. So he was considered to be a householder. And his first wife died at the age of 20 years. Then his mother requested to marry again. So he married again at the age of 20. And then he took sannyas at the age of 24 years. He renounced the order and the household died in 24, when he was only 24 years old. His wife was only 16 years old. And his mother was about 70 years old. But he still he took sannyas. Why? For the good of the humanity. He was very well to do, he was running, he was learned, and he had many followers, and he still, when he saw that if I remain a householder, and they will not care for my instructor, therefore he was obliged to accept the sannyas order. Because in India the system is the sannyas, renounced order. A gentleman in renounced order, he is accepted as spiritual instructor. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so dedicated his life for the whole humanity. In speaking, there is clear statement. While he was speaking this moment all over India, he instructed every Indian. The exact verse in Bengali language is that, Bharat Bhumite Janma Manusha Janma Haya Jat Janma Sarthakvari Karo Paramukha. He has ordered that anyone who has taken his birth in India as a human form of life, he must take up his responsibility of preaching the Sankirtan movement all over the world to do the best service to the human. That is his order. To do the best service to the humanity. You are so much compassionate with the human society. So, by his grace, his philosophy, his teachings are now being spread in the Western countries. And I have taken on the humble responsibility. Please help me. He'll be happy. It is such a nice moment. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was also humanity. He's not a religion. He was not bent for preaching a particular style to gather some followers. No. It is the need of the human society. And he wanted to preach all over the world. Because it was not possible at that time, in his time, he was only for 40 years. He took sannyas at the age of 24 years, and he passed away in 24 years, he was very busy all over the year. Therefore, he left his legacy to the inner and India to take up his cause and teach the cult of Sankirtan movement all over the world. So, I shall request you to understand the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his movement. You have got already 6 centers, 5 centers in your country. I started first in 1966 July in New York, then I started in San Francisco, then at Boston, then at Montreal. Of course, I did not go everywhere. These boys, these sincere boys and girls who are helping me have joined this movement, they are doing. This center was started also by one boy. I have come for the first time here. Now, I request you that this movement is not nothing sectarian or anything blah. It is the movement as a necessity of the human society. You join it, you consider it, you put your logic arguments in every way, you find that this is the necessity of the present day. So, not only one center in Los Angeles, but you open centers in every village, every country, every home. And the process is very simple. You dance Hare Krishna and dance in ecstasy, and everything will come within yourself gradually. Everything will come. If you practically see how you are becoming before, there is no need of wasting time. This Hare Krishna moment can be done at home, outside home, when you are watching, when you are walking, every moment. So, try to understand this moment and try to follow it. It is not a decision, it is a need. I shall discuss on this part gradually. If you find me someone attend our classes, I shall very much thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
about when you're standing?
What do you think about when you're standing?
Chanting. You simply hear. What is when you say Hare Krishna, you try to hear the very sound, Hare Krishna. That's all. Nothing more. This is meditation. Your tongue and your ear should be engaged in sounding the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna. Best meditation. This is also accepted in Bhagavad Gita. Best meditation. You don't keep your mind elsewhere. You must keep your mind on the chant, Hare Krishna, and here. So, this is responsive. When I was chanting, you were hearing. When you were chanting, I was hearing. So, let's say, I hear your chanting, you hear my chanting. This is it. Problem. So there is no opportunity of thinking anything else. Best and the easiest time for meditation. Excellent. You at once become on the transcendental mess. Therefore, you feel dancing. So practice it and you see how spiritually you are making a song. It is very simple. When you are walking on the street, you can chant Hare Krishna. There is no tax, there is no expenditure, there is no law. That the gain is very great, quite indifferent. If without any law, without any expenditure, you gain something in super more stabilized in spiritual realization, why don't you try for it? You are not asking any money. You are not asking $150. What thing? For hearing? No. It is free with the future. Free study and try. Make an effort. There is no business here. You simply chant Hare Krishna and try to hear the sound. Therefore, nothing. Any other question? Why is sky blue?
Can you explain?
Yes,
why is sky blue? Excellent. Like it's plenty. He has seen every day. Can you explain?
Sky is blue. That's all. That's what it is. Krishna is blue. That would be.
Sky is the reflection of Krishna's body, the form. That's what it is. Just like if the power of the light is blue or, and it is red, the radiance also becomes similarly. Krishna is blue. It is describing very bitter death. Venum kannantam aravinda dalayatakam varahavatantam bhaktam mudasundaram. God's bodily hue is just like blue cloud, but it is very beautiful. These are not measurements. They are taken from very little. So his body is mastery like that. Definitely true. It is not that we are painted through by measurements. No. This is very difficult. Parasya Shakti, he has got immense energy there doing everything. Just like a big man, a rich man, he is sitting silent in his room. But he assistant, his secretary, his manager, he is doing everything. He is buying Krishna away, Jana. Anandamaya Vyasa, he is a Vedanta Sutra. He is jolly by his nature. And if he associates with him, then he becomes jolly. Here also, Pakam Pakana Sutra. Now we are material incumbent, therefore we have to transfer to him from this material incumbent to his spiritual life. That is Krishna consciousness. So Krishna is good because he describes the Vedic literature as such. Because we are part and parcel of the Supreme. The Supreme has got complete independence. Therefore, the independent quality is there also new. Just like gold, the particle of gold is also gold. Similarly, because you are particles of Krishna, so you have got all the qualities in many quantities also. You have got all the qualities of Krishna. And Krishna is God is fully independent. Therefore you want to be independent. Your inclination is to always remain independent. But he has been conditioned. He has been conditioned. When you begin your spiritual life, you also become as independent as Krishna. So that independence, when we want to imitate Krishna, by refusing our independence, then we are giving the chance of so-called material enjoyment in this material.